Okay, what happened next? We ended this morning with Prahlad Maharaj concluding his dissertation on bhakti, Vairagya Vijayanija Bhakti Yoga, and the two conclusions, the last the two verses that we covered, of all the different methods of becoming free from material entanglement, the best method is that which is directly given by the personality of Godhead, and which results in devotion to his lotus feet. So he then concludes, let's take shelter of the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, who is all pervasive, and is the best friend of every living entity. Let's take shelter there. And the students really liked it. We already had the end of chapter 6. It was, wow, where'd you learn? And then he just a whole other 55 verses spoken by Prahlad, describing how he learned and further elaborating on what he learned, concluding with knowledge and detachment and pure devotion. All the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Shanda and Amarka. Now we often say, they were engaged in kirtan. Doesn't specifically say that, but that's the indication of this wonderful painting. So, but they had become devotees. Fixed, convinced, strong. And Shanda and Amarka came to understand not that someone is polluting Prahlad, but Prahlad is polluting all the others. And they've all become polluted. They've all become devotees of the enemy. They were very alarmed, very afraid. So they went directly to Hiranyakashipu, told him everything, and he flew into a rage. Now previously, in chapter 5, we heard that he ordered Prahlad to be killed. Now he's deciding, I'll do it myself. I'm the most powerful. Who has he not defeated? On and on and on, he's defeated everybody. Similar like Ravana, defeated everybody. And Hiranyakashipu was even, in one sense, it was the previous yuga, so his stature was bigger and his power was bigger. There's this nice description that I'm just going to be covering 10 verses, so I'm going to be explaining, just going a little bit this way, that way, in the course of this. There's one of the authorized, authentic, Vaishnava-accepted versions of Ramayana gives the following description that when Ram, Lakshman, and the Vanaras and Vibhishan all crossed the ocean and were invading Lanka, Ravana was confident of his being victorious because he was a king of demons. But for reassurance purposes, because one of the things that demons do is they make alliance with other demons. So he began to consider who amongst the Daitya clan is really powerful. Bali Maharaj. So he went to the abode of Bali Maharaj. Vamana was at the gate of Bali Maharaj's kingdom because he made this pledge to Bali, I'll be at your gate, we'll let improper people in. There's different versions what happened. One of them was Vamana just kicked him and he went flying. Couldn't enter. Another version is that Vamana just laughed at him. Said, you're a fool. I'll give you entrance. And Bali will teach you a lesson. Go right ahead. In that version, he went to Bali and flattered him because that's part of the protocol of what you do when you want somebody to do something for you. And he said, I want your help. You're powerful, this and that and the other thing. And I want your help. And Bali said, before I respond to your request, I know you're very fond of gold. Come with me. Took him to a place and there was a mountain of gold. And said, if you like, you can just take it with you. Take it back along, it's yours. But you have to lift it to take it back. You know, Ravana was able to lift Mount Kailash single-handedly. Didn't need an army, didn't need a forklift. He just lifted, very powerful. He lifted and strained and he couldn't lift the mountain of gold. And Bali said, you know why? Prior to your becoming Ravana, you were Hiranyakashipu. And when Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Nrisimhadev, the same Vishnu that you want to have a battle with, when he was killed by Lord Nrisimhadev, one of his earrings fell. That's his earring. You're a fool. Go back to Lanka and meet your death. How powerful was Hiranyakashipu? But Prahlad was fearless and more powerful. So he hadn't yet attempted to kill him himself. Now he's determined to kill him himself. Now it's a detail, but when Narada Muni stopped Indra from taking Kayadu, he said, within her womb is a great soul. In fact, he's a pure devotee. And even if you tried, you won't be able to kill him because the Lord will protect him. So instead, entrust her to me. So, in a rage of simultaneous fear and anger. So this is, you know, it's not prema, not Krishna prema, but it's intensified feelings towards the personality of Godhead. He is, you know, very Krishna conscious. Inimical, but very Krishna conscious. So the text says, very angry, he approached Prahlad. oh, most impudent, most unintelligent. It's like part of the program. You disrespect others. Disruptor of the family, lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you. And therefore, you are an obstinate fool. Today I will send you to the place of Yamaraj. Good luck. My son, Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets and the three worlds tremble along with their chief rulers, by whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? In the purport, Prabhupada refers to this Kimbala. How have you overcome my order? By whose strength have you done this? Kimbala. Whose strength? Well, Prahlad is very clear, and he tells it like it is. My dear king, the source of my strength of which you are asking is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the one that gave him the benediction. Is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just what he wanted to hear, right? Unless one understands this philosophy, he is still a mudha. Now, Prabhupada was sometimes criticized or, like, cautioned. Don't speak like that. But he would, on the authority of Krishna said, would say. There's a little video clip of a scene in Los Angeles. Those of you that have been to the Los Angeles temple, you know Prabhupada's quarters is, as you're looking at the temple, it's over on the right. And way over on the left, behind where the kitchen area is, there was a garden. Nice garden. It was a sitting place where Prabhupada would receive people because the weather in Los Angeles is very nice. So Prabhupada had a nice seat and people had chairs and, you know, made comfortable. So this particular video clip is Prabhupada seated with Stills and Judah and this professor, that professor, the other professor, well-educated people sitting at Prabhupada's feet. And the video clip says, Swamiji, why do you use this word rascal? You could say, you know, not intelligent. Or something a little more pleasant. Something like that. Not exactly. I don't remember exactly. And then Prabhupada said, rascal is the summation of unintelligent. It's the right. And smiled and he laughed and they laughed. And now these are scholars that just like this other comment, people that have knowledge, they become proud. And Prabhupada was calling them, not or their peers that don't accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as mudha. Those exactly here. Unless one understands this philosophy, he is still a mudha. Not very intelligent. The mudhas, the asses, who do not have this intelligence, cannot surrender unto the Supreme Personality of God. So he's going to appeal to his father, give up the mudha mentality and become surrendered to the personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also. This is the absolute truth. The absolute truth meaning the source of everything, and you can't name something that doesn't come from the source of the source of everything. There are two things. Krishna, Prabhupada. Two things. Krishna and Krishnas. And there's not a third thing within the creation of God. That's the absolute truth. So the rhetorical question is, well, if that's God, then where does God come from? There is no where God comes from. There's no where the source of everything comes from. The source of everything is the source of everything, and there's no prior source. Asamurdva is a phrase that Prabhupada would use. I've looked it up many times and still haven't been able to find where it comes from. Asamurdva. Sama means equal. Urdva means greater. There's no one equal or greater. Advaita Chandra is looking to see if he can find Asamurdva. See if he can find it. Yeah, why not? You won't find it, I'll tell you. If you find it, I'd like to hear it. But he used the term all the time. You know, God or Krishna, it has no equal and there's no one greater. It's another way of saying absolute. He's absolutely absolute. There isn't another absolute. He's the absolute. That absolute in the Vedic sense of the pratishtha of everything. Or the, as we heard, matak paratram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. He's the base, he is, from him is everything, and there isn't something. So, where is the power coming from? Everything is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear Father, please, give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. There's that term again. Make your mind equipoised toward everyone, except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind. There is no enemy within the world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, then one comes to the position of worshiping the Lord perfectly. He's teaching the mode and the way of pure devotional service. My dear devotees, this is the mode and the way. Not just conceptually or notionally, or we say yes, but we carry that consciousness, we conduct our lives. That's how deeply it needs to go. Read carefully. I know you read carefully. Read carefully again. The purport of the Vyavasayatmika Bhuti verse. 241 Bhagavad Gita. Twice, Prabhupada says, the highest perfection of life is to go beyond the bodily conception of life. Then at the end, to such a degree, there's not even a chance of being attracted by the materialist activities in pursuit of sense gratification. Not even a chance. Squeaky clean, completely beyond. That's the platform of devotional service that Prahlad is encouraging. So that one can come to Shuddha Bhakti. Time and place, discreetly, he spoke some strong words to his brother. You're living like a dog. Living off the scraps of Bhima, who killed your son. Have you no honor and dignity? Where are you going? You're attached to the temporary. Now, in that section, there are stages of detachment that are outlined. And knowing the capacity of Dhritarashtra, he couldn't go to the topmost position, the Naratam, Nara Uttama position, topmost person. But at least give up this attachment in the negative sense. Go to your mind upon the personality of Godhead. It got through. He was very powerful and went through. And he went to the forest. And he was actually, Dhritarashtra was very qualified. Very powerful. He sat down in the forest and the strength of his intense meditation, his body burst into flames. Who can do that? He knew the art, and he did it. He was previously attached to the concept that I'm the king, even my son. Sons are dead, I'll rule through my nephews. I'm the king. You're at the fag end of your life, your teeth are falling out, your liver is rotten, you know, going, you're about gone. Get out! Now, Prahlad was saying to his teachers, to the very first lesson, go to the forest. And worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was to his father, the very part of his lessons. Now he's saying the same thing more detailed and more eloquently, but give up your demoniac mentality and be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to do that purely, you have to give up this friend-enemy program. In the purport to this verse, Prabhupada is discussing the method of controlling the mind is bhakti. And otherwise it's incomplete. The Bhagavatam teaches this in multiple places. One can go up, 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 by some process. But because of the modes of material nature, down, 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 down. That was Prahlad. He stayed. Even in the midst of all of this. The position of perfect worship, the personality of Godhead, beyond the bodily conception, with mind and senses control, Adanta Gobir, senses and control. This is the bona fide process for controlling the mind is to fix the mind in service to the Lord. We create enemies and friends according to the dictation of the mind. But actually, there are no enemies and friends, like this sleeping and happiness and distress, friends and enemies. It's the mind. Pandita Samadarshana. This is at the purport. To understand this is the preliminary condition for entering the kingdom of devotional service. Samak sarve shubhuteshu. Mad bhaktim labhate param. It's a Bhagavad Gita message and shared here again. Now, I want to spend a Madhura knew the diabolical plan of Duryodhana again and again. He just, you know, house of lack, what the plan was. He knew the whole plan. The poison cake and he knew. You know, murderer. He saw Duryodhana as their enemy and he was in opposition to it. And when this peace message came from Krishna, and Duryodhana tried to kill Krishna. And when that didn't happen, and Krishna left, Vidura stood up and blasted him and then blasted Dhritarashtra for supporting him. Not speaking the truth, because he was too attached to an illusory conception of I'm the king, and if I can't be the king, my son can be the king, and I'll rule through my son. He blasted his father. In the midst, in front of Duryodhana, who stood up and he insulted very harshly. Get out! You should be driven out with nothing but the breath of life. In regular daily parliament, or someone that wants to see you dead. Now, how did Vidura see, and how should we see? He understood the will of providence is here somehow. This is a prompt from Krishna for me to come closer to Krishna. Let me go on pilgrimage, because I want to go to Krishna myself. I'll go on here to Krishna and vice versa. So it was a providential arrangement to bring him closer to Krishna, closer to the goal of life. His duties were for Krishna, but he's not unable to perform his duty because of the obstinacy of, there's no service for me here. Duryodhana was an instrument of helping Vidura come to the position that he came to. In Mahabhagavata, already he was Vidura. Already he was Yamaraj. Mahabhagavata. By hearing from Maitreya, who heard from Krishna. These are lessons of the Bhagavatam to help us understand what Prahlada is saying here. And Mahabharata as well. So in the Bhagavatam, when Maharishi Parikshit is informed that this rogue in the disguise of a king is breaking the legs of the bull, standing on one leg only, wobbling, we went and confronted. And in confronting the perpetrator, he asked the victim, who has done this? And the enigmatic response, very mysterious response of the bull, drew him, Parikshit Maharaj, to reach the conclusion. Your dharma. Because the essence of dharma is to not see simply material cause and material effect, but to see the personality of Godhead. That's real dharma. You know, sarva dharmam paridyaja mame kam sharanam braja. Your At that moment, it's described, Prabhupada's purport, he could have killed personality of Kali, but he didn't. It was obvious. He's got blood on his club. It's part of Krishna's plan to want to understand who's carrying father. Didn't go over so well. But it's ignorance. It's ignorance of who we are and ignorance of the purpose of life, who we are, ignorance of how to utilize this human form of life, ignorance of how to exercise the mind and the senses directed towards the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. It's ignorance. And so in ignorance we do mudha things. It's a foolish thing. We should give up the ignorance and take the association of those who are free from ignorance. Or repeating the words of those who are free from ignorance. And doing their very best to come to the position of living that way accordingly themselves. Leave the ignorance behind and take shelter of the personality of Godhead. And this friends and enemies, because it's multiple times in Prahlad's teachings, it's really important we don't go there. It's a feature of duality that's very problematic. It keeps us from pure bhakti. We want to become free from ignorance and free from that conception, free from duality. There are many places, because of, I have some time, I'm going to do a couple of things. There's sections, Tom, where the section with Muchukunda and the section with Sudama, the florist, where in both cases, it's a long narration, beautiful narration, but both were given the opportunity by Krishna, to have whatever benediction they wanted. And they were smart. They're intelligent. They ask for three things. Your association, so that can be enough. And association of your devotees to remind me of you. That's enough. But the third was friendly dealings with all living entities. You know, not friends as opposed to enemy, but, you know, the right kind of regard for all living entities. A favorable disposition. In all living entities, some people do bad stuff. Like this teenage question we heard yesterday. I know, as a teenager, I struggled with that one. I've shared this before. I don't mind sharing it again. I had a big struggle. I had this existential dilemma as a teenager. Everyone wants to love and be loved. And people do so many bad things to each other. Why? I didn't get any answers. I went to the priest. I went to my brother. My father was already deceased. There was no place of wisdom to go to. I went to one priest and he said, I think you need psychiatric help. I wasn't like, you know, looking over the edge of a cliff. I was just, you know, why is it? No answers. I didn't stop asking. And then Krishna sent Prabhupada. because I was asking. I didn't even know who Prabhupada was when he came, you know, appeared. He had the answer. And it didn't take long to understand he had the answer. It took a while to understand how it was that he had the answer, but he had the answer. Friends and enemy, material existence. It's very unpleasant. You open your eyes a little bit, really unpleasant. The anatomy of material existence is very unpleasant. Paint it nice color and perfume it, and it still stinks. And it's not nice. And we're devotees, and you know, one of the things that as devotees we do, certainly I do, and I'm sure all of you do, you're called upon to do some, what's called in the Christian world, pastoral counseling. You know, giving devotee care to people who are being hurt by cruel people or circumstances or health or, you know, the material existence. It's an unpleasant place. What to do? And that, so one thing not to do is don't blame the instrument that brings that discomfort or hurt or harm or something. Maharaj Parikshit, when he was cursed. No, he had done something wrong. But the something he had done that was wrong was not commensurate with death penalty. The father of the young boy, he understood. This is wrong. You know, there's this sense of justice should be commensurate with the wrongdoing. It's not just. You're not the giver of justice either. You're a little Brahmin. No, this was a symptom, according to the Bhagavatam purport, it's one of the symptoms of the Kali Yuga begun because persons have hermetical power misuse it because they have power, but they don't know how to use the power properly. Character is missing. Power is there without character. Kali Yuga. Sound familiar? So, Brahminical character is essential for establishing Krishna consciousness in society. And how do you do that when Kalo Sudra Sambhavan? And this is, you know, like, I'm going a little bit off topic, but not really. Just expanding like Prabhupada would do. Read the first canto, it's really clear. Brahminical culture. Varnashram, how do you do it? With that, so those that have really looked at it more than anybody I know have concluded in the seventh canto. Nice boy. The section that we're going to conclude is chapter 10. It's all over with chapter 10, and in chapter 11, it's a new topic. The new topic is, wow, Prahlad was way up there. How do you get way up there like Prahlad? I'm Yudhisthira. I'm the king. Narada, and you're instructing me, I have to rule my citizens and my duty is to bring people to that topmost platform. How can you give me some guidance how I can do that? I'm making it simple. and abbreviated. Yeah, here's where you start. Brahminical culture. You can look it up later. I think it's verses 8 through 11 or 12 or something like that. We need varnashram. We need, within society, O king, you need to elevate the people gradually, and to elevate the people gradually, you need brahmanas. He doesn't use that explicit language. He gives a list of qualities that are brahminical qualities. And then from those brahminical qualities, you can enter into a life of bhakti. And then lists the 9 types of bhakti, like 30 items. But the first, whatever the number is, 21, is brahminical quality. So those, this is in New Brajadam in Hungary, they spent a whole year just focusing on character development according to that list. And they spent, whatever it is, a few weeks, all the classes were focused on that one. And, you know, supporting one another to develop that one and then the next one. Because they're serious about it. They want to fulfill an instruction of establishing varnashram, the social structure for elevation of society, including ourselves. Because I'm sure we know a devotee, at least one, that's a devotee but doesn't have good character. They say harsh things. They do things that we don't expect devotees to do. It sometimes happens, more often than it should. What to do? And why? What to do? Narada gives an answer. We need qualified brahmanas. Not just those that have Gayatri Diksha, but don't have the qualification, the same qualification as that nice long list. Or take a shorter list. You know, from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18. Tamap Namak Tapak Shocham Shantir Arjavam. Those names, those terms are in the 11th canto, 11th chapter of 7th canto, so I'm going off. We need brahminical quality to establish the social structure that uplifts all of us and the world around us, in addition to the Yuga Dharma. We're doing the Yuga Dharma. Some persons are becoming really elevated. Some persons are not becoming so really elevated. Some persons are feeling entitled and I'm initiated and I can go around and throw my weight around. I mean, rather than listing and going off, we all have our experience, I'm sure, what to do. We're hearing repeatedly, so I'm repeating it from Prahlad, friends and enemies. It's a good place to start. And the enemy, from the material point of view, is you stand in the way of my interests. If your interest is Krishna and living entities on your moving along the path of life act with enmity towards you, there's a Krishna purpose minimally besides, you know, my past deserve. It's to help me take deeper shelter of Krishna. It's easy to say. It's another thing to do. One who does can experience happiness and please Krishna. Come to this, at least a purer stage of bhakti. So the last slide is this one. The last sentence in the purport of this little section. One who thinks that he has many enemies is an ignorant man, whereas one who is in Krishna consciousness knows that there are no enemies but those within oneself. The uncontrolled mind and senses. So much in the Bhagavatam about the mind and the uncontrolled mind. Because of our time, I went too long on this other topic. A really nice section, those of you that are taking notes can note it down. Canto 5, Chapter 6, Texts 2 through 5. Don't trust the mind. 5, 6, 2 through 5. That's, you know, the mind can be the greatest enemy. The mind can be one greatest friend, but the greatest friend is where the mind goes to Krishna, not where the mind goes to see where your enemies are, or see where your happiness might be and chase after that happiness, because it's the mind. Oh, there's another really nice section. You can learn more about the mind. Because of our time factor, we're not going to go there. Whole chapter in 11th canto, Krishna's talks with Uddhava. What's the root cause of suffering? And the answer Krishna gives, whole chapter, Avanti Brahman story, it's the mind. That's where our suffering is, in the mind. And the mind is pure, there's no suffering. The experience may be, it's cold out. Or hot. The duality is there. Someone was mean. Someone was nice. Etc. This misfortune happened, good fortune happened. It's duality. You don't see, you can see it's cold and put on a jacket. Etc. You see somebody's in difficulty, you extend a helping hand to help that somebody that's in some difficulty. But the essence is, that's not saving the person. The soul has, you know, so see beyond the temporary. Don't respond simply on the temporary. And everything is defined by that. We don't ignore the temporary. Our picture is a holistic picture for how to deal with the well-being of the soul. We don't neglect other things. Unless you're Raghunath Das and not another platform of Krishna consciousness, you stop sleeping and eating. But otherwise, you'll, you know, be regulated in your sleeping and eating. And take good care of your health and take good care of those that are dear to you and their well-being. And we do those things for the satisfaction of Krishna, not otherwise, not with some other intention, undue degree of affinity for the temporary. And that's my service to my family or my friends or society. Okay, so let's see if there's some discussion. I see one hand up. Do we have a microphone? And while we're waiting, I bet somebody can flip on the light.
Maharaj, regarding friend and enemy, I was thinking
regarding?
Of friend and enemy.
Friend
the
and
distinction
enemy.
Of friend and enemy. I was thinking about young children. It's a very, I mean, they need friends, that's their social need, but many times or more often, they do get hurt, judged, and disrespected, by others. So if as an adult, I can aim to, follow the path that, okay, Krishna has, plan for me, and probably that's the will of providence, you know, that like Vidura left. But for a child, like how it's just way too high to explain all of that and help them process their hurt feelings. And the child may keep on going back to those friends, even they are hurtful, because that's their need and they don't have a replacement. So
you're a parent. You're not called, you're the child that you're the parent of is not called upon to be Vidura. But as the parent of the child, you have to help them navigate the territory. And as you missed the earlier discussion, how to do that depends on the child. If you're, you know, a good parent with different options in your toolkit, you can engage in different ways with the child to help them. Protection is needed. Expectation of some higher consciousness is beyond their capacity. So you have to go to their level and according to the child. You know, the world out there is like this. And, you know, it depends on the child. Help them process. And if, you know, as much as it's realistic to do so, seek association where it's not abusive. You know, which other children for your children to be with are pure devotees? So it's a choice of, you know, what options are available and what's the contamination, what's the toxicity level of this one, that one. So you look, but you also train. How to process. Not just go back again for more. No, there's some, without being in detailed. Depends on the child and depends on, you know, what boundaries you feel it's good for the particular child to draw. And don't compromise beyond those boundaries. And here's what you do if someone does. It's like child abuse. Children can be taught what's a no-no. What it is and what to do. So they have protection.
So Maharaj, is it like the distinction that we are learning that we should not have as friend and enemy? So what is the healthy way of looking at it? Like,
what is the which?
Healthy distinction of, like, is it favorable, unfavorable? Like, that distinction is probably needed, like you're saying?
Well, it depends on how they feel, isn't it? Favorable, unfavorable. Some children are more resilient. Some children are more fragile. You know, imparting value, this is parenting discussion. You know, imparting values to a child, that's parenting. And then when the values are violated, what are you to do? Depends on the child. Depends on the circumstance. So I can't get into details because it's too complicated in a public forum like this. It depends on the child. It depends on so many variables. Protection for sure, but not helicopter parenting. You know, isolate my child and put them in a cave so they don't have any bad association that abuses them because they have need for companionship. But where are you going to find companionship that's not hurtful sometimes, intentionally or otherwise? Then, you know, ideal is a relationship with the parents of the child that your child is associating with, so that if something comes up from either side, you can talk about it and help, you know, improve the situation. But this is a parenting topic. It's not unrelated to our topic, but it's very detailed and complicated, as you know, being a parent. And it changes over time also. Parenting question? No? Okay. Whew.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
First of all, just wanted to share with you my findings on the Asamordva.
Ah.
So I find at least two references here. One is in actually the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse, where Srila Prabhupada says, another name for God is Asamordva, which means that no one is equal to or greater than him.
Yes.
Then the second reference is...
The question I had specifically is, what's the Shastric reference?
So, he's saying in the Shruti Mantras, and then he...
We don't know which one.
Talks about different terms, and okay. One of them is Asamordva.
Okay, Shruti Mantras, but I that's as far as I got.
Right.
My comment was, I don't know what's the scriptural reference other than Shruti Mantras. Okay, so.
Okay. My question on this topic of enemy. So in the devotional setting, so in our society, we don't necessarily find enemies who want to kill us, but there are instances where someone wants to blame another devotee,
sure.
Right? So, for example, yesterday I heard in my own case that from one devotee that another Vaishnava had placed a blame on how I did a service in the past. My first reaction to that was, oh, my God, I feel bad for the devotee for holding this conception. But I'm also trying to understand. So there is some learning from that, but I would like to seek your thoughts on how else to respond to that. What is the...
How should you respond?
How should I respond to it? Because
when person A says person B is blaming me for something that I supposedly did in the past, but it's a misunderstanding of what I did in the past.
So another devotee is blaming me.
Oh, another devotee is blaming
right.
you.
And I heard it from another devotee.
Ah.
So they're not necessarily coming to me to talk to me about it, but it's like, side conversations, which is unhealthy to start off.
Sure.
But, you know, I've seen you in those situations many, many times, so I'm eager to understand how you respond to such.
Well, one of the rules of this world, not just ISKCON, you take a leadership position, you're going to be criticized. It's Prabhupada writes it in his purport. We should act above criticism knowing it's going to come. Now, what to do when it comes is your question. Whether it's, you know, directly the person comes and says criticism, or person A talks to person B and person A says criticism, and you're on the receiving end of the criticism. There's different things. This is the Brajabihari method. Here's, 10 possible things that you could do. And then, you start eliminating things that are, I wouldn't want to do any of some number of those things. Then you have a little list, then you select from the list of what you can do. So there's many things you can do. Just tolerate it, that's one. Two, ask person B, can I go to person A and use your name? And just ask person A, did you say this? Were you correctly understood or misunderstood? Or don't give the name of person B. Go to person A and say, little bird sat in my window and said something. Now, the mind will ask, just like Hirani Kashipu, who told that? And they'll probably know who told, at least guess rightly or wrongly, but that's where their mind is going to go. Option 4, you go to someone that's above that person. Or option 5, you go to, a village elder. You go to an ombudsperson. You go to somebody that's detached, that the person looks up to. Or has the capacity of being neutral and not judging you or person A. and, you know, seek help, seek guidance, seek wisdom. There's another, you know, the list goes on. Go straight to whatever it is the accusation is, produce evidence, produce a document, you know, to whom it may concern, make it available to person B, who can make it available to person A. You don't even need to know that it went to person A. And you just, you know, and anybody, etc. It's a longer list. Well, I don't like those ones, but I might so you consider your options. This is stress management 101. Somebody throws rocks at you and it hurts. That's the stress management language. And you can, you know, the different, you can do different things. Stress is you, just think about it. It gets bigger. There's other things to do. Go to somebody that is a Brajabihari type person or trained person, either him directly or somebody you know that has, and seek, you know, what are my options? What would, you know, if you, do you have any recommendation knowing me and the situation? I'm requesting confidentiality. The bottom line is, if you've done something wrong, acknowledge it. Even if it's partially wrong, acknowledge it and try to correct it. That's the first place. And then the other is, go to the mode of goodness, be reflective. What's the best way? And one of the rules that Krishna showed when he was wrongly accused in Dwaraka, you've heard me say it many times probably, stand by the truth. And one who abides by truth will is be protected by truth. And if you've done something that's not truthful, acknowledge it. Be truthful. I made a mistake. It wasn't that one. I made another one. And I acknowledge it. You can fault me for the other one, and I accept responsibility for the one that I made the mistake in. And I want it between myself and Krishna and the Vaishnavas. I want to correct that. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. With the
volume in the back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maybe I'll talk loud.
No, he's turning up the volume.
The Devadas, they had real very tough time with the Hiranyakashipu, and they were really ready to kill the Prahlad in the womb, yeah, while he was in the womb of his mother. But when Narada told this is not an ordinary child, they accepted Narada's words without any doubt.
Without any hesitation.
Yeah, without any hesitation. And top of that, they paid obeisance to Narada and accepted the fact.
Yes.
So it's very hard for me to understand what is the factor behind that even Indra he accepted it so easily.
Well, he's a qualified person that sometimes loses it. But he's a qualified person behind he sometimes loses it. Right? To go to heaven, what to speak of become king of heaven, he's a qualified person. Narada touched that qualification. Narada had the power and Indra had the receptivity. His receiver was on and Narada was the broadcaster and he said, yes, got the signal. There's other examples of this in scripture. Just hearing, just King Prithu killing all the yakshas. Stop. He stopped. The Prajetas destroying, you know, all the vegetation. Soma, stop. They stopped. Just boom. Now that's a sign of qualification. Even when one is carried away by anger or fear, just words. That's a sign of qualification. When sound can go in and take away the covering that's covering one's consciousness, that's a qualification. Indra's got some problems. Indra's a very qualified person. Dhritarashtra. It was strong words, but he heard. He went to the forest, gave up his body. He was so attached. Embarrassingly, foolishly. Boom. Qualified person. And the eighth qualification is one can hear and move with what one hears. A disqualification, or limited qualification, I can hear and, you know, for a few days I do, and then I go back to the bungee cord position, back to where I was before. Attached. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is regarding enemy again.
Regarding, speak slowly.
This is regarding enemy again.
Enemy like, again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Suppose if I'm like, if my practices of Krishna consciousness, if it is annoying person around me, like you're doing over, you're like, you know, doing it too much. So,
what is too much?
Like, practice of devotional service.
Practice of devotional service?
Yeah, through hearing or through chanting.
You're saying.
Myself.
Your practice is so-so.
Yeah, my practices. Okay. If they bother the persons, I mean, whoever, like, you know, if they feel, should I come down, like, should I be unnatural, like, should I just come down from the...
Oh, come on, should I be unnatural? Of course you should be unnatural. Be a pretender and... Delude yourself and other people. That's a good pro. Hey, I like that. Let's write an article on it for Back to Godhead magazine. Be who you are. Whoever you are, you are. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with others. Strive to go further to your capacity. Don't compare yourself to others, what others are, what you're not, and all that kind of thing. Don't do that. Be honest. Acknowledge. Be who you are. To your capacity. Continue to strive further. Is that all right?
Yes. I mean, I shouldn't worry about how others...
Think. Right. That you anticipated. I anticipated, so I said. Whatever.
Okay.
It's between you and Krishna and Guru.
Okay. My another question was quickly like, so wherever in Prahlad Maharaj...
Slowly.
Prahlad Maharaj teachings, wherever he says happiness, that refers to material happiness.
Yes.
So where he says that happiness and distress, the amount of happiness and distress are fixed, that refers to one who is seeking material happiness.
You're repeating your question, just saying it in different words, and the answer is still yes.
Okay. But so it doesn't apply to spiritual, the one who is seeking...
Say it again, slower.
Okay, thank you.
The last part again. The last part.
It doesn't apply to the one who is seeking spiritual happiness.
Of course. It's the same question, third time, same answer.
Thank you.
Glad to clarify. Do we have a question in the back corner? Yes or no? Okay. Last question.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. In our family, I think every one of us would share that question.
Which question?
I'm just going to put forth.
Okay.
So we have different kind of people. Some are Krishna conscious. Some are appreciative or favorable to Krishna consciousness.
This is your circle of friends.
Yeah, I'm talking about my extended family, right?
Extended family, okay.
And some are neutral. So you cannot make out whether they're really into Krishna consciousness or, I mean, where they stand, you cannot make out. But we tend to be more accepting towards the people who are accepting Krishna consciousness verbally or however. But we are not accepting as much to those who are actually neutral. They don't show. But at the same time, we want accepted from both equally. So I just want to get your perspective how we should be, because what I feel internally that I should be more towards the neutral person because they are the ones who have to be swayed towards Krishna consciousness more. But that's what I don't see in most of the cases happening. So what would you like to say to deal
with? Let me repeat back one part of what I heard. See if I got it right.
Okay.
Your thinking is those that are more in this neutral place, you should give more attention to them.
Yeah.
Because they're on the fence. And a little movement off the fence towards Krishna would help them.
Right.
And they're not unwilling, they're just not so willing.
Yeah.
Well, nice question. And there's, some consideration over here and some consideration over here. So, and then it takes intelligence to put the two together. One consideration is see everyone equally. Another consideration, Prabhupada speaks about it explicitly in different situations, and that is investing time in reaching out where there's likelihood of response. You know, a preaching field, you don't go sow seeds on a barren field. You sow seeds in a field that's been prepared and et cetera, et cetera. So it's not cosmetic to maintain external respect and politeness. Bhakti Vinod Thakur speaks like that. Be respectful to all living entities, but the platform on which you're extending that respect may be social, and not so much on the spiritual, depending upon the situation. So a friendly disposition towards all means a friendly but appropriate for the field or the circumstance or the receiver. Just like, you know, there have been several questions during this seminar about children. You speak to children in a certain way. You may not change the message, but you speak in ways and language and modalities that children can understand more likely. And we got some hand signals going here. So the same with relatives. Respectful, not cosmetic, genuine respectful. Even if they're, whatever, they kind of checked out with Krishna. Because they're spirit soul part of Krishna. And you're connected to Krishna, so you're respectful to them. So commensurate with the position, and the people that are neutral, according to the individual and their capacity for receptivity. Not too much, not too little. Because too much is too much. They'll back off. Too little that little spark that may be there, the on the fence situation, may not move. But most important of all is to be more effective with the fence-sitter persons, the moderate people, develop your own Krishna consciousness, because purity is the force, besides what you say and do. Hearing your question, I'm thinking of my family members, my siblings, because my mother and father are no longer in this world. I extend myself, especially when they're undergoing some difficulty. Not like preachy, just help them with their difficulty to show that I care. Because they don't really want to hear about Krishna. I mean, they haven't said it, but they're saying it by the conversations that we have. They're not against, but they really, but they know Krishna is my life. And they're not objecting to that. They're not opposing that. They're not saying I ruined my life. It's me. So they're respecting. So when they have a situation of difficulty, I extend myself, and it means something to them. Three cases, they've said so explicitly. It really helped a lot to feel your support. It's not like they now like Krishna more than they liked Krishna before. But they like me more, and I represent Krishna. You know this, in this, we'll hear it, it's coming up. Hiranyakashipu, not only Hiranyakashipu was delivered, but 100 generations of ancestors before him delivered. By Prahlad becoming Prahlad. Even aside from Hiranyakashipu being killed. So you become fixed in Krishna consciousness, and benefit will go to them. Better than whatever else you might do not do. And then, as you get closer and dearer to Krishna, he'll give you the intelligence because you care. That's very important. They'll get benefit just because you care. But then how the best exhibit that, he'll give the intelligence based upon them. Without expectation. Including, getting closer to Krishna kind of expectation. Just mercifully give Krishna. Especially, I agree with you, but I'm just adding a whole bunch of other things. Especially to the neutral ones or the fence sitters. They're not showing some act of interest. Or they may externally show some act of interest and you're not really sure what's going on inside. Extend. Without expectation. Without judging them, in other words. I'll keep giving as long as you move toward Krishna. Just keep giving. You're watering the garden and the bhakti creeper will grow because you're Krishna's bhakta. You're giving bhakti to that neutral place. But if it's barren field, now, we're not Prahlad Maharaj. He went, right to Hiranyakashipu and Shanda and Amarka. We're not. So maintain friendly regard, but without extra endeavor, but the extra endeavor to the neutral persons, sure. Does that help?
Very much so.
Okay.
Maharaj, thank you.
We'll end there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.